Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I believe that the sectarian violence is probably as bad as I've seen it in Baghdad in particular, and that if not stopped, it is possible that Iraq could move towards civil war.
Well, the politicians may be reluctant, but the generals were not. Revealing the extent of the threat of an Iraqi civil war in a Senate Armed Services Committee hearing yesterday, General John Abizaid there, commander of all U.S. forces in the Middle East, said sectarian violence is continuing to get worse, especially in Baghdad. Peter Pace, the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said a similar thing, and that all this increases the risk of all-out civil war, and reaffirming what at least Abizaid has said before, that the sectarian violence is now a bigger military problem in Iraq than what is generally called the insurgency. It is bad news for Iraqis, to be sure. Also bad news for Democratic Senator Joe Lieberman of Connecticut, as he faces a primary election against anti-war Democrat Ned Lamont next Tuesday, with this on the front page. I do want to remind you that we'll be doing an election night special for the Lamont-Lieberman primary. I'll be hosting beginning at 8 o'clock on our AM station, AM 820 WNYC, on Tuesday night. You can also hear it live on our website at WNYC.org. And it'll be on most of the public radio stations in Connecticut, plus Albany Public Radio. So that's Tuesday night at 8 o'clock for our primary night coverage, Lieberman and Lamont. We'll talk about that race shortly, including the new Quinnipiac poll showing Lamont breaking open a 13-point lead, plus the influence of anti-war blogs and the two campaigns' focus on African-American voters this week. But first, we want to play a sharp exchange from that Senate Armed Services Committee hearing between Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and another senator up for re-election in the tri-state area, Senator Hillary Clinton.
You are presiding over a failed policy. Given your track record, Secretary Rumsfeld, why should we believe your assurances now?
Senator, I don't think that's true. I have never painted a rosy picture. I've been very measured in my words, and you'd have a dickens of a time trying to find instances where I've been excessively optimistic.
And they went round and round from there, Senator Clinton and Defense Secretary Rumsfeld, from the Armed Services Committee hearing yesterday. With me now to talk mostly about the Lamont-Lieberman race in this context are Daryl McMiller, Assistant Professor of Political Science at the University of Hartford, and Ken Dautrick, Professor of Public Policy at the University of Connecticut. Professor McMiller, Professor Dautrick, thanks so much for coming on WNYC today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And Professor Dautrick, before we even get to Lieberman, interesting that Senator Clinton made a show of going after Rumsfeld yesterday. You know, she's got an anti-war primary challenger too, Jonathan Tasini, though he's not getting the traction of Ned Lamont. Think she may have been consciously showing herself to be different on the war than Joe Lieberman?
Oh, I think clearly. I think, you know, certainly from the polling in Connecticut and New York, you know, that's an issue that's on most voters' minds. It's the top issue in terms of what people are looking at and how they're going to vote in not only the primaries but the general election this year. So I'm sure she is using this as an opportunity to distance herself from the Bush administration.
Professor McMiller, would Lieberman's history or current positions on the war have allowed him to say the same things to Donald Rumsfeld as Senator Clinton said there?
Probably not. I think the senator has certainly been one of the more vocal supporters of the war, and has been, you know, quite unwavering in his support. And of course, there are a number of other public pronouncements that he's made, you know, about his support, and also the comments about not really wanting to challenge the president at this time when we're at war, really makes it, I think, much more difficult for him to take that position.
Yeah, Senator Clinton may sow some confusion there, being relatively a hawk about what her real position is, but when she accuses Donald Rumsfeld of having presided over a failed policy, you agree, Professor Dautrick, it's hard to imagine Lieberman speaking those words today?
It is very hard. I mean, you know, Lieberman chose a while ago to be the lone Democratic voice in the Senate that pretty strongly endorsed the Bush war policy. And so he really stands out as the Democrat in the Senate who is most supportive of the president's policy in Iraq. And so it's not a surprise that there's so much that there's so much attention being focused on this Connecticut primary.
Professor McMiller, what do you make of this new Quinnipiac poll showing Lamont with a 13-point lead?
Right. I think, you know, when you sort of look at what's occurred in the last 3 or 4 months, I mean, it's really amazing. I mean, you start off a few months back where, back in June, where he was down actually 55-40, and then to see him up now 54-41% in roughly, you know, 4 months is just amazing. And it's certainly the sign, what it really symbolizes, of course, is that Lamont has been quite effective in, you know, traveling across the state, meeting with voters and getting his message out. I mean, there are lots of campaign commercials I'm seeing on television, which means people are spending lots of money in the state to get their message out. And it's really exciting, you know, as a political scientist sort of, you know, watching this.
Professor Dautrich, you know, it's interesting to me, one stat that hasn't really made the headlines, but I looked at the breakouts from Quinnipiac. Only 5% of likely Democratic voters said they were still undecided. If that's true, it's over.
Yeah, I think that, you know, this is a primary, and we know that turnout is not going to be very large, even in a high-profile election like this. The last time there was a high-profile Democratic primary, this is about 10 years ago, turnout was about 22 or 23%. So it might be a little bit higher this time, but it's a select few, you know, group of voters, Democrats in this case, who pay very close attention to politics and who care about the set of issues that are at play here. And so it's that small group that is paying attention, will turn out, and will make the decision. Ironically, you know, that small group probably represents about 10% or a little less of all voters in the state. In the general election, you know, assuming Lamont wins this primary, it's a whole different set of voters that these candidates will be trying to appeal to.
We can take your phone calls and emails on Lieberman, Lamont, and for that matter, Clinton and Ticini and the war at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or email Brian Lehrishow at WNYC.org. With the Connecticut primary coming on Tuesday, and my guests, Darryl McMiller, political science professor at the University of Hartford, and Ken Dautrich, public policy professor at the University of Connecticut. And Professor McMiller, both candidates have been campaigning hard for African-American voters. Why specifically in that way?
Well, I think a large part of it, of course, is when you sort of think about the groups that make up the Democratic core, African-Americans certainly are a large and significant, you know, part of that core. And so, you know, trying to get folks to turn out in a city in which a large, not the largest, but a large portion of the population certainly resides in cities means you have to go after African American and Latino voters as well. And so the candidates have been traveling around the states and bringing in the big guns as well to, you know, work on their behalf over the last few days. Reverend Sharpton and Reverend Jackson have been, you know, to town. Danny Glover is coming to town this weekend. Maxine Waters has spent the last several weekends in Connecticut traveling to churches and community events and meeting with voters. And so certainly trying to excite that core base of the Democratic Party and get them to turn out. I mean, as, you know, Ken pointed out, you know, this is the summer. It's August 8, a hot, you know, in a hot summer, which means that, you know, turnout is really important, and who you're able to turn out really matters. And, you know, what these big guns, you know, try to do is really turn out those voters who might be on the edge thinking about setting this out because it's only the primary. And every vote counts when you have a race that, you know, at least until this most recent poll, was so statistically close that it was unclear who actually was in the lead.
You know, Professor McMiller, in New York, an active role by Al Sharpton sometimes causes more white backlash, and especially Jewish backlash, mm-hmm. than it causes turnout by blacks. Sharpton
right.
polls a net negative as a public figure in New York generally, and there have been things, as you probably know, like a cartoon circulated during the Freddie Ferrer mayoral campaign in 2001 showing Ferrer as mayor with Sharpton as police commissioner, things like that, and those things matter. Any possibility of that in Connecticut?
I think, you know, certainly, you know, part of this is that, I mean, Sharpton, this is really his first visit to the state with, and we're talking roughly a week out from the actual vote. You know, certainly he's a much better known quantity in New York than he is in Connecticut. And so some of the controversy and many of the other issues, the baggage that he carries in New York, he doesn't carry here with Connecticut voters as easily. Now, if he had been in the States for the last several months and really working the state on a fairly regular basis, then those kinds of controversies probably would, you know, rise to the surface. But I think given the small window, it's really about trying to galvanize a few supporters. And none of the media that I've read, at least, have sort of painted him with a negative brush. And mm-hmm. I think also the presidential run he did, very, you know, in 2004 may have sort of elevated his
national standing and stature.
Yeah.
And Professor Detrick, what about a Jewish vote for Lieberman? First Jewish major party vice presidential candidate, strong supporter of Israel at a moment when Israel feels under siege. Where's that?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at the demographic groups, particularly in the Democratic Party, and you start to break them apart, you know, clearly Lieberman would benefit from a stronger Jewish turnout for the reasons that you identified. But look, I think, you know, the issue that cuts across religious groups and ethnic groups and other groups is the war. You know, there wouldn't be a race. There would not be a Democratic primary race if it wasn't for Lieberman's support for the Bush policy. That's the giant elephant in the room here. And it's not surprising that the candidates are trying to be strategic and trying to, you know, pull out their vote and get ready for the ground troops on election day to try to influence turnout. But the one overriding issue that is going to determine the outcome of this particular race is Joe Lieberman's support for the war. I think Lamont has run a marvelous primary campaign keeping the issue focused on that issue. And if that's the issue that Democrats are thinking about as they go to the polls, and certainly that's the way they seem to be answering in the Quinnipiac poll, then Lamont is really going to, you know, be at an advantage on Election Day. So, you know, race is important. The Jewish vote is important. African-American vote, the union vote. You can kind of dissect what the Democratic Party looks like and how the candidates are trying to mobilize different groups. But the bottom line is I think all of those things are kind of playing at the margins. The issue that voters, that Democrats are concerned about in this race is Lieberman's support for the Bush war policy.
If that is playing at the margins, I wonder if we learn from this Quinnipiac poll, and if we may learn on primary night, if Lamont wins and wins big, that Jewish voters in Connecticut are more anti-Iraq war than they are loyal to Lieberman because of Israel or ethnic solidarity. And, you know, and whether that's a blow to the sort of Jewish cabal pro-Iraq war on behalf of Israel theory.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I don't know that we'll have, you know, detailed exit polling data to be able to definitively answer that question, but it's certainly an interesting hypothesis. And as, you know, once the primary's over, if Lamont's the winner, I'm sure that when the scope of the voting public expands to independents and Republicans, certainly the campaigns and hopefully some of the public polls will be trying to address that question.
We'll continue in a minute with Ken Detrick, public policy professor at the University of Connecticut, Daryl McMiller, political science professor at the University of Hartford. We'll take your phone calls and emails, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or email Brian Lehrshow at WNYC.org. And we will be doing an election night special on Tuesday night. I'll be hosting beginning at 8 o'clock on AM 820 WNYC and our website, WNYC.org, as the Lamont Lieberman primary returns come in. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.
The fact is, we're there now, and we have a choice. And that choice is between helping the Iraqis achieve a free and independent Iraq, or abandoning them and letting the terrorists take over.
It's time for us to change course. It's time for us to start bringing our troops home. As General Casey and others have said, our very visible military presence is fueling the insurgency. It's making the situation worse. So our best hope for success is to start bringing the troops home now.
Joe Lieberman and Ned Lamond from their debate this spring. We'll keep talking about this race in a minute. The latest Brian Lehrer Show reading project is now up on our website. It's an excerpt from the new book by Linda Hirschman called Get to Work, A Manifesto for Women of the World. And yes, it is about mothers who work outside the home. We'll have Linda Hirschman on the show next week to discuss it. You may remember Hirschman set off a new skirmish in the mommy wars with her article in the American Prospect last winter, calling for women to stay out of the house and find jobs if they want respect and equality. This is the book version. Is this just retrofeminism or a new rallying cry for today's realities? Read the excerpt from Linda Hirschman's book, Get to Work, A Manifesto for Women of the World. It's at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, and we'll have her on the show next week. Professor Daryl McMiller, political science professor at the University of Hartford, Professor Ken Dautrick, public policy professor at the University of Connecticut, my guests on WNYC as we talk Lamont Lieberman, and Andy in Wilton. You're on WNYC. Thanks for calling, Andy.
Hi, Brian. I'm your 5% undecided Democratic Jewish Connecticut voter.
All right. The haystack is out there, and we found the needle.
I actually think of it sort of as an embarrassment of riches. I don't agree with Lieberman on the war, but I have some respect for him as a principled individual, and I think both are good, viable candidates. So I'm not as concerned about any negative repercussions of one or the other of them winning. I am very concerned about the possibility of Lieberman running as an independent and splitting the vote. And I'm curious as to whether either of your guests has an opinion as to whether that's something they think he's really going to do, whether they think there's any strategic voting that's going to be happening as a way to forestall it. But I don't know.
Professor McMiller, what do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've sort of thought a lot about that since Lieberman made that decision to at least leave that as an option. And certainly he's circulating the petitions around to get the signatures to do that. I think, you know, part of that may depend on what this outcome looks like. If this is a real tight race that, you know, comes down to the wire on next week, I think that may sort of embolden him to the idea that he is still a legitimate candidate, that a core of the party supports, and that it's, quote-unquote, the lefties, you know, for example, who have really sort of pushed this campaign. And so from that standpoint, I think he may, you know, feel much more comfortable with moving forward. And I think the other piece of it depends on what the reaction is from the establishment, with, you know, the established sort of figures within the Democratic Party, and what they sort of advise him about running against the nominee of the party.
Is that a concern at the state level?
I think within the state, but I'm also sort of thinking, you know, even at the national level, I think when you sort of look at what's happened, a lot of the establishment folk have lined up behind Lieberman. I mean, from the, you know, head of the state Senate and various other sort of political figures, state elected officials here in Connecticut. And I think that's pretty much the establishment position.
So increasingly half-heartedly, don't you think, Professor McMiller, because so many are coming out and saying, but we'll support the Democratic primary winner.
Right, exactly. And I think from that standpoint, he runs the risk of really running against the party establishment, because I think, you know, that party may trump sort of individual loyalty in this particular sense.
Yeah, I think the party establishment is probably going to be pretty quiet. I mean, assuming Lamont wins the nomination, I think there may be some, you know, quiet endorsements of the primary winner, if that's Lamont. But I don't think there's a question that Joe Lieberman is going to run as an independent if he loses this primary. And I also think that when you look at the landscape of the voting public in Connecticut, Lieberman probably, you know, is going to be the front runner as an independent. I mean, a lot of it is hypothetical now, but we've got half of the state's voters are independents. They're not partisan. It's only about a third that are Democrat, and about 20% are Republican. And Lieberman has about a 65% approval rating among Republicans, and he also has a very strong approval rating among independents. Independents like Joe Lieberman because he has demonstrated his separateness from the party line on this particular issue. So,
Andy, let me ask the caller. Andy in Wilton, are you? Does it matter to the way your vote ultimately goes whether or not Joe Lieberman decides to run actively as an independent or whether he plans to?
It's probably the reason I'm still undecided, because I think on pure policy, I'd probably side with Lamont, but I am concerned about possibility of a three-way ticket. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Andy, I'll tell you what, if you don't mind, I'm going to put you on hold, and maybe you'll give us your phone number off the air, and we can check in with you during our primary night returns special Tuesday night and see which side you finally fell to, okay?
Okay.
So hang on one second as we continue with political science professor Daryl McMiller from the University of Hartford and public policy professor Ken Dautrich from the University of Connecticut. Here's a related email, Professor McMiller. Talk about the independents and the non-aligns. This says simply, did he know that any non-aligned voter can register for the Democratic Party up to Monday? Is that true?
I'm not sure about the exact date, but I think it is the day before the primary. Yeah, you can actually switch your party affiliation. I mean, Ken may know that as well.
Now, that's so different from in New York, Professor Dautrich, where you have to switch parties or register within a party in order to be eligible for a primary more than a year before the primary you want to vote in.
Right.
So here in Connecticut, there are a lot of independents, as you were saying, and people can just decide they have a strong feeling about this race one way or the other and register as a Democrat pretty much right up until the last minute.
They absolutely can do that, and there certainly will be some people who do that, but traditionally that just doesn't, it's not a massive number of people that can really affect the outcome that actually do decide to do that. So we'll have to wait and see what happens, but I certainly wouldn't expect a groundswell of independents registering for Democrats as Democrats sometime before Monday. It just historically has not happened.
Here's another email that says simply, most Lieberman supporters are Republicans, not surprisingly, says this writer. Professor McMiller, do you know that to be true in terms of Connecticut voters?
I don't know that to be true. I think, this one, I mean, certainly, and Ken is right, I think, in a general election, I mean, the Quinnipiac poll came out a while back, clearly indicated that Lieberman wins in a three-way race, and he wins fairly substantially. And I think, certainly a big part of that is that he's much more palatable to Republican voters than in either of the other two choices. Certainly he benefits in that particular sense. And just to sort of amplify a point that I think connects to this that Ken mentioned earlier also, sort of talking about the intensity of, the sort of anti-Bush part of the core that make up Lamont voters, I think, the other thing the Quinnipiac poll did I thought was interesting that it revealed was that, for folks who are voting for Lamont, 65% of that vote is about being against Lieberman. So, certainly that group of people will probably be highly motivated to turn out this Tuesday for the election.
Melanie in Brantford, you're on WNYC. I should know how to say that by now.
Yes, hi. I am a Jewish voter, and I just wanted to sort of defend the Jewish voters in a way, because we are not one-issue people. I know I'm an N of one, and I can't speak statistically for the rest of the Jewish voters in Connecticut, but certainly on behalf of my friends, we are very anti-Lieberman, and it isn't just because of his stance on the war, although I am certainly very much against the war. But it's the Terri Schiavo issue. It's his conservatism that has been an issue for me throughout his representation of the Connecticut voters. He's been far too much to the right for me. I actually do remember when he stood against Lowell Weicker, and it was a quandary for me then, because I've not been a Republican. But as an American by naturalization, I suppose being a Democrat, it wasn't such an issue for me to vote Republican, although many of my liberal Democratic friends, and I regard myself as a liberal Democrat, they were horrified that I could even think of voting for Lowell Weicker. But I did way back then, because even then I thought of Lieberman as too conservative for me. So, I don't know how accurate it is to say that Jews in Connecticut automatically support Lieberman because he's Jewish.
In fact, I think we were saying that the statistics show the opposite.
Right. I mean, you know, that is the case. But I think one of the guests, and I don't remember who it was, did say something about the Jewish vote for Lieberman. And just sort of in defense of that, I think, inspired the call. But, you know, I think it's also beyond the fact of the war. Again, his criticism of Clinton. I mean, it was great that Clinton came to Connecticut in support of him, but I found him prudish and self-righteous at that time. You know, regardless of your opinion of Clinton, he just seemed to take a stand that I thought was unnecessarily self-righteous.
So you've got many reasons that you want to vote against Joe Lieberman. Melanie, thank you for making your N of one voice heard here today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Professor McMiller, what was this web image of Lieberman in blackface on the Huffington Post?
Right. I caught a quick glimpse of it on the news here. Apparently a blogger who has been a Lamont supporter, a friend of hers, I believe, created this picture, and she actually posted it on her site. The Lamont people, once they caught wind of it, immediately requested that she remove it from the site, and she did. And, you know, some of the controversy has been swirling around just how close she actually is to the campaign.
Right. That's Jane Hampshire, the blogger at FireDogLake.com. It also got picked up at Arianna Huffington's HuffingtonPost.com. Mm-hmm. What was it supposed to be saying? What's the meaning of portraying Joe Lieberman in blackface?
Right. That, to me, is altogether unclear. I mean, it's such a racially offensive move that it's sort of astonishing that anyone would actually post something like that.
And we should say President Clinton in that shot, too.
Exactly. And the photo is doctored to, I believe, put sunglasses on him. And
right.
So it was just a very racially offensive
call up any classic images?
Well, certainly, I mean, blackface is and the sort of use of blackface when you sort of think about caricatures of African Americans, you know, historically in this country, I mean, certainly that picture is, you know, very offensive, and you know, most people are well aware of a lot of that history. So again, just astonishing that and just boneheaded to think that you could sort of post something like that and get away with it.
Professor Dutrick, any thoughts about this and its political impact, if any?
Well, you know, this is a problem of technology. You know, anybody can be a publisher now, and they can use blogs and other, you know, means to do that. And I think this is going to be, this type of thing is a problem that will persist in campaigns. And candidates, you know, the best strategy is to quickly disavow any connection between someone who chooses to do something like this. Will it have, you know, any kind of meaningful impact? You know, I would imagine if that there's a direct tie between the Lamont campaign and this blogger, it could, but I doubt that it'll have any meaningful impact on the vote.
Professor McMiller, is the African-American electorate in Connecticut any more or less pro-war than anyone else in Connecticut, or anti-war, or any more or less likely to vote?
Yeah, I think, you know, to the first part of the question, you know, certainly when you sort of think about folk who have been particularly opposed to the war probably from the start, I think African-American voters have been, you know, at least the national polls that I've seen, much more inclined to have opposed this war than most other voters in the country. I think also when you sort of think about the sort of the negatives that are, you know, the Bush negative, I think, you know, Lieberman sort of being tagged with being close to the president, I think, really hurts him, I think, in the minds of a lot of African-American voters who still hold very strong, you know, who are very angry, continue to be angry about the 2000 election. And so from that standpoint, I think it's just a negative for Lieberman.
And funny enough, Lieberman was the vice presidential candidate with Al Gore on the Democratic side of that
election.
And so what an irony that they may take some of that anger out on Joe Lieberman.
And if you think back also, I mean, the initial controversy around Lieberman's position on affirmative action, and of course he modified his views with regard to affirmative action at the very beginning of that run with Gore. So, I mean, this has been a real tension for him, I think.
Hey, before we run out of time, there's another kind of similar race in Connecticut getting less media attention, but perhaps with even more national importance. Moderate Republican Congressman Christopher Shays being challenged by Democrat Diane Farrell in the southwestern part of the state. Same issues, really, but the seat would actually change parties. Here is Farrell on our show yesterday.
The reason that it's so incredibly important is Joe is a minority voice among the Democratic Party. Chris Shays is a majority voice in the majority party. And that is an enormous difference in terms of the influence that he has. And when you talk about Chris's moderate voting record, certainly he will point to votes on the environment, votes on reproductive choice, socially progressive votes. Sadly, the first vote that Chris Shays cast is for the leadership, for Dennis Hastert, the Speaker of the House, and for John Boehner, the present majority leader.
So it comes
down to
numbers.
Those are the individuals. You got it. Those are the individuals who control the agenda in the House of Representatives.
So, Professor Datrick, pretty interesting in that Diane Farrell has endorsed Lieberman, saying, yeah, I disagree with him about the war, but he's been right on almost every other issue. Shays and Lieberman are almost indistinguishable in their voting records, but Shays is a Republican, and she's running against Shays, saying, hey, the fact that he's a Republican and would vote for Dennis Hastert as Speaker and all that flows from the Republican majority rule is reason to vote against Shays. Interesting race there.
Very interesting race, and I think Shays is very vulnerable. You know, 2 years ago, Farrell ran against Shays and I think came within about 4 points of unseating this long-term incumbent. She is a very good candidate, and her name recognition is now higher because of her previous run. And given the fact that this year, in this election, there is so much more focus on the war and such a more negative voter orientation toward Bush than there was 2 years ago, I think, you know, Shays continues to be very vulnerable. I think Farrell's got a pretty good shot of taking the seat.
So, Professor McMiller, in our last 30 seconds, what do you think campaigning is going to be like this weekend?
I think it's going to be fairly intense. I've been amazed at the number of ads that have been on television. The candidates are crisscrossing the state. They're making stops, all over Connecticut, and it's going to be up to the wire.
All right. We will see what happens. We'll see if the campaigning gets increasingly negative in these last few days, as sometimes happens. Ken Detrick, public policy professor at the University of Connecticut. Daryl McMiller, political science professor at the University of Hartford. Thank you both very much.
You're welcome.
Sure thing.
And don't forget, on Tuesday night, we'll be doing election night special coverage for the Lamont Lieberman primary. I'll be hosting beginning at 8 o'clock on our AM station, AM 820 WNYC. For those of you who can't get AM 820 at night, we'll also have this live on the web at WNYC.org. And it'll be on most of the public radio stations in Connecticut, plus Albany Public Radio. So there's a lot of interest, obviously, in this race with national implications. That's election night special coverage for the Lieberman-Lamont Senate primary Tuesday night, beginning at 8 on AM 820 and WNYC.org.